Hello and welcome. Today I am joined by Dr. Thomas Robinson, who is the newly appointed, or quite new anyway, first team doctor at Fulham. So Thomas, thank you for joining.
No problem at all. Thanks for arranging it and having a chat. Yeah.
No problem. No, I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, it's I don't know you particularly well at all, so I'm looking forward to finding out a bit more about it. So where are you from originally?
Originally from down south anyway. So I was sort of born and raised and schooled in sort of Kent. Sort of always had medicine on the mind as like a possible future career, but was definitely not mature enough at school, I think, to do that. So I was playing too much football and too much golf. So had a couple of years sort of working out what I wanted to do. Did a different degree, moved up to Nottingham. So I did an undergraduate degree in Nottingham and took another year off again playing a bit of golf, and then went to medicine as a graduate and have sort of just taken it from there. So stayed in the Nottingham area, still in Nottingham at the moment, but obviously, as you said, newly appointed down in Fulham, so we'll be making the move down there shortly, hopefully.
Very good. So you mentioned about wanting to get into medicine from a young age. What was the driver for that?
I don't know. Funnily enough, actually, I did speak to have spoken to my parents about this, and they always said when I was like young, sort of, 8, 9, 10, that I always actually wanted to be a vet. Like, I loved animals, loved looking after animals, but I got really, I couldn't, I said to mum that I struggled with it because I couldn't ask them what the problem was, and I didn't know what the problem was, and I always liked to know what the problem was so that I could work out the answer. And medicine's very much like that. It's very much a work out what the problem is and solve it. It's problem solving, just on a slightly different sort of level and a different kind of way of doing that. So I think that's probably from a young age what drove me into wanting to do that. I'd always been a bit sciencey at school, so that sort of natural progression went to a science degree and then into medicine, and then have developed from there, really.
And yeah, you did neuroscience at.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. I just had to I wanted to pick something that was interesting. Again, sort of had medicine in the mind as like down the line, but wanted, I didn't want to just sort of waste a few years. I wanted to do something that was going to interest me. And I very nearly actually stayed on in neuroscience and had an offer for a PhD to stay on and do that, but again, made the move and transition into medicine instead, which seems to have worked out quite well at the moment. So yeah, quite happy with that decision. But yeah,
So that neuroscience then, so what can you summarize that extensive area in 30 seconds?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we know so little about it, and it was a broad sort of biomedical science, if you like, to start with. And it's basically looking at how the brain functions, how the sort of nerve system functions. My personal interest during the studying was around learning disabilities, ADHD, autism, things like that. I did a sort of dissertation on that. Also looked into some other conditions, sort of schizophrenia. Really, it's a lot about, or what my interest was, a lot about processing and how the brain processes what's going on around it. And I guess that's sort of from a what I do now point of view, we're seeing that used more and more in terms of, say, the neurocognitive testing around concussion in sport. How the brain functions and processes is really important to that. And, is there a disruption in the baseline? That's essentially what we do day to day with our concussion assessments. And yeah, found it quite interesting and sort of have taken that on and developed it, really. Yeah.
So how useful do you think that has been then, having that well, I'm sure a lot of other people haven't got that particular background.
I think from a going into medicine point of view, having an interest, having sort of done those 3 years, done that undergraduate degree, I think it really tests you, your desire to do it. You know, you it's a lot of time, you know, 3 years as an undergraduate, then 4 years as a graduate medic, like that's a lot of time to commit to a career, and you've really got to want to do it. You've got to, you learn a lot during that time about yourself. Like that's why I took another year off, because I was like, actually, am I 100% sure that this is what I want to do? And I don't, you know, going as a personal thing, going straight from school to an undergraduate medical degree, I think I'd have struggled with that. Just because I recognised in myself that I wasn't mature enough to be able to just commit straight away and do all of that. I think you learn a lot about yourself, about your learning style, about, you know, how best you study, how best you take on knowledge. And I think that's an important aspect, because it is very, there's a lot to cram in a 4 or 5 year medical degree that needs to stick, that, you know, you need to have down your life, down your career. And you need to know how you're best to do that. So I think actually doing an undergraduate and then coming to a graduate degree was for me exactly the right way to do it. But again, it's not for everyone. My wife, fantastic doctor, absolutely outstanding. She went from an undergraduate, went school, degree, and carried on. And, you know, she's thriving, head of her GP practice, clinical lead. It works for some, works for others, you know. I think it's knowing yourself a little bit. Being able to recognize that in yourself is quite important.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important. And again, I reflect on mine. Like me, I did not have a clue. You're on the conveyor belt, you finish A-levels, you do university. Completely, not, wasn't appropriate, because it was great and it was good doing sports science, but it's like, really, did I have a clue what was going on? Sort of, but you kind of just, you're just going through the motions in a lot of sides. And it, I think the people that I've had on here, it's been quite interesting, because some of them, like you were saying, very clear, like you, like your partner, and that's great, isn't it, if you know what you want to do. Whereas it's also important to try and do something that's right for you and pick the right things at the right time. But who knows? No one's ever got a right answer to any of it, have they?
Exactly. That's it. I think being able to recognise in yourself what you need, what would be the best thing for you is important. In medicine, I think, I mean, if you look at other countries do, you know, America, for example, you have to do an undergraduate degree before you then sort of major in medicine and specialise. Warwick University only have a graduate program for medicine. So, you know, it's has shifted a little bit. I think more people have realized that you don't have to do everything straight away. Like you say, conveyor belt, it very much feels like that when you're GCSEs, A-levels, university job, then what? And you can find yourself in a place where you're perhaps not really where you wanted to be. So taking that time to really work out where you do want to be is quite important.
Yeah, no, I think there is pressure on it as well, isn't there? Because it's like with that, parents' expectations, what your peers are doing. It's like, oh, if you're not doing that, then I've become, since probably in the last few years, really, I would always put a lot of, if you don't have a degree, then probably you're not going to pass an interview stage. Whereas I'm completely the opposite way now. For anyone who's coming in to work for us, it's purely competency based. And probably it's like personality based, really, like aptitude, attitude. That's way more important to me. But again, that's only in the last few years. So I do think it is really interesting. People are so different, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting what you say there around like personality. I've always thought this with interviews as well. Like, you know, a lot of my family and my partner's family are from sort of financial backgrounds, accounting, that kind of thing, where a lot of their interview processes from what I've discussed with them have been, you know, there's a lot of prep that goes on, a lot of like knowledge that they need to demonstrate in an interview. Whereas actually, I think, like you said there, my feeling is I want to know that I can get on with someone. I want to know that they're going to fit in with the team that we're building. You know, everyone that applies for a job or gets an interview, should I say, you've looked at the CV, you know that they've got the things that they need to be able to do, and then it's, can they actually get on with someone? Can they, you know, can you see yourself working together? I think that's an important part of it. And I think from sports medicine, you know, from my perspective, my job, everyone's got a medical degree that applies for my job. You know, everyone's got these bits on their CV, and then it comes down to, can you work with them? Because working in football, that's an intense atmosphere. You know, you're there 6-7 days a week, you're overnights, you're traveling, you've got to be able to get on with people. I think actually that's far more important from an interview than, like you say, the qualifications, which, you know, there'll be a bare minimum, but that's it. Once you can do the job, can you get on with someone?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm talking way too much here, but one last story here on that. So I remember when I applied for my previous job when I was employed, and I had no background in sales, nothing at all. Applied for it, got on with the owner of the company. And I remember when they put me through all these aptitude tests, and then just said, oh, so what was, you know, what were all those things about? And he goes, to be honest, Andy, all I'm bothered about is if I can sit in a car with you for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you're not driving me up the wall, then that's fine. So it's like, great, yeah, all right, I'll try not to do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, though, you know, and that's the same in football. You're there, as I say, 6-7 days a week, traveling for hours together. Can you get on with each other? That's all you really need to know. Are they going to fit in with the team? Yeah.
Yeah. So then what did you do on that year out?
Yeah. So my first year out, so basically my dad has always been very much get a job. So from 15, I've had a job consistently. You know, I finished my GCSEs, like, right, so you're going to get a proper job now. And then A-levels, get a proper job now. And it's sort of just a running joke now. But yeah, so my first year out, I worked in a hospital, worked. So again, recognised that hospitals, medicine was probably where I wanted to end up. Was working in the labs, processing blood samples, working as a healthcare assistant. And as I say, playing a lot of football, played a reasonable level, but not obviously never going to do anything in football, but enjoyed it. And then my year after my first degree, I worked in golf, worked at a golf club just south of London. They held a few European tour events, so worked a few sort of tour events. And sort of just enjoyed my time. But similarly, I was also working in an A&E at the same time, on sort of the reception and clerking, and working as a healthcare assistant as well on another ward. So kept myself busy, but knew I needed sort of these kind of things to, again, I needed it to do medicine, but I also needed to do it to make sure that I wanted to do medicine. Because if you can't get on in the environment of being on a ward with sick people, and, you know, it is a very different environment to be in. You know, people are really vulnerable in hospital, and if you can't deal with that and help and you know, be comfortable in that environment and comfortable to help, then it's not really for you. But luckily I enjoyed it and got on well with it, and then sort of moved into medicine.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You really did put a lot of groundwork in from doing all of those things then. So was that a conscious thought that you want to say, right, I want to get work experience and I want it to be in an environment I may be in?
Absolutely. And like, work has never been an issue for me. I've always enjoyed working, enjoyed being busy. I actively sought out opportunities. And again, I think not just to get into medicine, but it's really important to get into medicine. You've got to know that that's the sort of career for you, the environment for you, the hospital. You know, you're going to spend, as a minimum in terms of training, once you've done your degree, another 4 to 5 years working in rotating around hospital placements. So you need to know that you can work in a hospital and be comfortable in that environment. But I think then further down the line, you know, after doing my sort of specialty training and then moving into sport, you know, having being open to just putting yourself out there and doing as much as you can is really important. And you know, as much as is feasibly possible, that's what I've done. You know, I would pick up matches, tournaments, work, and then doing extra studying on the side and everything as much as I could to just sort of build the career and build the sort of experiences. Obviously, my wife and family have been incredibly supportive and understanding, because it's meant a lot of weekends away and a lot of, you know, evening studying. But, you know, it's kind of gets you to that point that you sort of aim for, that you see yourself at, which hopefully I've reached ish now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, so did you, what was your plan on you? Did you have a pathway? You sound a very focused and person that knows what they want and kind of got a pathway to get there. But for you getting into sports,
yeah,
like, how do you map that out?
I'd gone as far as medicine, and I didn't, if I'm honest, didn't really know a great deal about sports medicine as a specialty. I think it was, you know, that we're talking 2013, 14. So 2013 is when I finished my degree. So 11 years ago, it was there, but it wasn't as known about. It wasn't as big. You know, you didn't see, you know, full time doctors in all clubs, and you didn't see it as much. You know, a lot of it was still, you know, voluntary, covering like your kids' sport at the weekend. That type of thing was still quite prevalent at that point. It was changing. And one of my colleagues that I was working with in my sort of foundation training was just sort of like, oh, yeah, you know, we were talking about what do we plan to do. I was like, oh, I'll probably go into general practice, do that. It seems quite nice, quite varied. And he's like, oh, I'm going to sort of go down the medicine route and then sports medicine. And I was like, oh, that sounds quite interesting. And sort of just then threw myself into that. And luckily with general practice, I picked a specialty specifically because it allows you to do other things, you know. It was a great training program, very broad, and then you can dip in and out and do other things, you know, like covering sport at weekends, like, you know, I had an interest in doing sort of injection therapy and other different sort of minor ops and little bits like that. General practice just lends itself to those kinds of things, and so then that sort of shifted the focus, and that's when I sort of found, again, my kind of personality is just scattergun approach, try and get as much experience as I can. So I just threw out a load of emails and was searching online for like different opportunities in sport. And, you know, living in Nottingham Rugby were like on my doorstep. They're like, great, come in, we'll get you going. And so worked, got straight into rugby, and working in rugby was awesome. Really good start into sport.
So who are you sending those CVs off to then?
So I mean, essentially I was getting on online, looking at sort of the BASM website, looking at UK sport website, again, and finding their heads of medical, if I could find sort of information. You know, LinkedIn's an interest, you know, it's a very good resource. Obviously I wasn't just pinging CVs off to everyone and anyone straight away, but just developing relationships, trying to speak to people about sort of going in experience. And yeah, so managed, to be honest, quite early on to get good contact from Nottingham Rugby. And they were really keen to sort of get me involved. And then I've sort of tried to pass that on with getting other people that I've worked with involved in Nottingham Rugby. And, you know, that's sort of how I found this works. You know, you people talk and you sort of encourage people in. And if that someone shows willing and interest, then encourage it and get them going. And then it's on them, you know. And I was quite happy for that. They said, great, come on down. And now I threw myself into it, and, you know, sort of went from there.
Mm. And how supportive that was the industry, like sports medicine, as you were saying, it's quite a niche area. It's quite small. It's a fast growing one. Well, it's a growing one. And so how many other SEMs did you speak with?
So to be honest, I have found everyone fantastic, like always willing to offer you their time to answer questions. In Nottingham, we had a really good department at the hospital run by Professor Batt. Fantastic guy, really keen to just share his experiences, share his knowledge on the specialty. So that was brilliant. But I found the team environments are just, maybe I've been lucky, but every team I've worked with has been fantastic. Generally is brought on from the head of medical in each department. So I was really lucky, straight in at Nottingham, the head physio there was Tracy Russell. She's absolutely fantastic in rugby, really encouraging, really sort of bigs you up, gets you going, gets you really interested and sort of energized about it. Really supportive in everything that I wanted to do in sport. And so that was fantastic. And then obviously I'm currently at Fulham, and again, our head of medical, fantastic, really bigs people up, happy, like great conversations, really encouraging when it comes to sort of the additional skills and extra things that we want to do. So I think actually I've had nothing but, you know, positive experiences with colleagues across, you know, medicine, physiotherapy, sports science. I've had nothing but positive interactions, which is good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good. In terms of for like the response, and so when they say come in, like I presume there's a bit more of a process than just right, you're in and you're treating people. What happens when you start having that engagement with them?
So my first bit was obviously Nottingham Rugby. I was currently working in A&E at the time. I went in, had a chat with Tracy and the sort of head doctor at the time. And basically it was like, right, you can start shadowing straight away. The process basically was then contacting the RFU. What do I need to then start covering games? So they enrolled me on the RFU pre-hospital medicine course. So straight onto that, completed that, and then I was away and covering games. You know, from my point of view, it was making sure that my indemnity would cover me for that, because that's something that has changed in sports medicine over the sort of 11 years or so that I've been doing this. There's been a lot of changes from indemnity being insured to do this. But yeah, so that was it. It was offering the opportunities to get experience first, and then it was the practicalities of what do we need to get in place for you to actually start contributing work-wise, covering games, you know, paid work. All in all, it did not take long. It was a few months, and then started covering, and I was there for, I think, six, seven years in total. So, yeah.
And what was it like then going from starting working in sport then? How did that differ from what you were doing in like your general day-to-day?
Yeah, so the day-to-day of rugby, well, actually I found it in any team sport. So I've worked in rugby and football. You know, the day-to-day is general practice. You know, I've got a cough, I've got a cold, I've got a rash, I've got this. That's general practice. That's my bread and butter. That's what I've been doing for my whole career up to starting to work in sport. The match day stuff was a big step up in rugby, especially. There's a lot that goes wrong in rugby. and you're just kind of thrown in as like, right, crack on. I was lucky I'd come from working in trauma and orthopedics and A&E, my two previous jobs before I started working in sport. So working in rugby, there's lots of, you know, suturing, there was lots of, I say lots, there was suturing, there was the head injury assessments, there was the joints. So there were a few joint dislocations and injuries that we had to deal with. So different from the day to day of a GP, but you know, I had had the experience, and then it was just, you know, go away with it and develop it and keep going. And you know, rugby really gives you that basis. I think that's always been, when anyone's asked sort of how to get into sport, I've always suggested rugby union or league to get into sport, because there's things you'll see on a pitch in football, touch wood, generally happen less often, whereas you'll still get big injuries, but less often. Whereas rugby, you can be dealing with 4 or 5 head injuries a game. You can be dealing, you need to stitch up 3 or 4 people at the end of the game. You might have a joint. You might have, there's lots of things that can happen in an 80-minute game of rugby. So that's where you get your volume. That's where you get your experience. Personally, mm-hmm. That's how I felt.
And then, so how did that 7-year thing come to an end?
Well, so I continued to do other bits. So I was mainly covering games for the first couple of years at Nottingham, then took over as the sort of head doctor, but all the while still covering other bits and pieces. So started with Bucks. So I was covering some of their the university games and things like that, and just sort of picking up bits and pieces where I could. Started working for the Premiership rugby. It's like head injury doctor, the independent match day doctor. So I was doing a little bit of that as well. And then saw advertised online opportunity to work with Coventry. It was advertised, I think, as Coventry United women's team for their first season back into the Women's Championship. But then I applied, thought it would be quite a good experience as a shift into football, because that's something I had always wanted to do, football being my sport. As a kid, I'd always wanted to sort of get into that. And I applied, and sort of as the process went along, it then developed into the Coventry United Women's and Coventry City Academy, and sort of helping with sort of first team cover as well. So did that for a year. Then Stoke City Academy position opened up. So applied and was able to get that one job. Was there for 2.5-3 years. There was some transition at the club, so ended up for probably the last 6 to 8 months sort of joint first team cover doctor, or covering a lot of the training, a lot of the matches with one of the colleagues there, and then moved to Fulham and sort of fully transitioned. When I moved to Stoke, I sort of partially transitioned away from other sports and mainly into football, and then as that job developed, that's when sort of the other job sort of fell away and I really focused on football, and that's now moved into a full-time first team post.
That's really good. And that, so when you went into football, was it what you were expecting, or how did it differ to what you were doing?
Well, it was kind of what I was expecting. The day-to-day is still very similar. It is still that sort of general practice. It's still seeing the same conditions. There was a bit, I did feel probably a little bit more, pressure might be the wrong word, but there's definitely an expectation that you can get someone fixed and ready and play. And I did find, certainly in the early days, there was a lot more of the little niggles and bits that were mentioned to me, whereas in rugby they were mentioned far less. There was not as many things mentioned during the week, and when they were mentioned, they tended to be significantly worse. But you know, whether that's just the personality of the athletes, I don't know. Whether that is sort of an inherent thing within the sport reporting and whatever, or whether it's the implications of not reporting and you know, engaging in sport when you aren't feeling 100%. You know, there's a certainly I found since going to Fulham, there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of pressure on these players to play, perform. You know, football, there's a lot of money in that sport, and that, you know, I think they do kind of feel that sometimes, and we feel it as well, from the medical side of things. We know we need to make people, these players, as fit and as well as they can be to perform. And I've definitely felt that more in a football environment than in a rugby environment. And whether that's just me personally, I don't know, but I certainly do feel a little difference there. In terms of the actual medicine you're doing, it's still very similar. You know, these are still athletes. You know, they still have, you know, nutritionists to look after that side of things. They have us, the medics, they have the physios, they have therapists. We all do our jobs, and it's the similar kinds of jobs. But I think, yeah, there is a little difference in terms of the expectation and certainly the pressures that we've felt, or that I've felt in each sport.
Yeah, and on that, I mean, the more I go on, and I love listening to podcasts, reading books and so on. It's like mental health is a massive thing. My fiance is a CBT therapist, and so I find it really interesting, just that whole area of people's minds and how massive that is in physical performance, just general life. So how supported are the players, and then also like the team, even, you know, the medical team, you, the managers, the coaching staff, and just the general people, that pressure will be seen directly from a Saturday result. How important is your role in supporting the players with that, even though you're there from more of the physical side, or maybe not, I don't know.
Well, I think it's kind of like all of our roles, if you see what I mean. Like, you know, the we've got some fantastic therapists at Fulham, and to listen to little snippets of conversations. You know, the players will have one-on-one, like a massage therapy or deep tissue therapy. They'll have, you know, laser tech, or they'll have all these different treatments one-on-one in the treatment room. And they'll have conversations, and they'll be talking about what's going on. They'll be talking about what's going on at home, what's going on the pitch, what's going on around the club. So, you know, there's lots of opportunities there, and it's just making sure that you take them and don't ignore them. You know, when I'm, say, ultrasounding someone, we'll have a conversation. We'll talk about what's going on for them, how are they feeling. So I think it's not it's not one person's job, it's everyone's job. And, you know, we have good communication. I think that's really important, going right back to when we were talking about the interview process and making sure you can work as part of a team. That is really important when it comes to looking at the mental health side of things in sport, because if you're sat around with a group of people and you don't feel comfortable to say, I'm struggling a bit with this, then that potentially can be a problem. But I know from our team and conversations that we've had that if someone isn't feeling it, if someone's got something going on at home, if someone's got something that they need help with, we've got the team to deal with it. And I think that's incredibly important aspect of our head of medical's job, compiling that team, knowing personalities, knowing who's going to be able to work together, who can offer what in that environment, and supporting each other. I think that's it, really. From my perspective, it is just taking those opportunities and making sure that everyone is taking those opportunities. So I'd like to think that the players and staff are well supported, but it's not formal. It's very much an informal, opportunistic. We take every opportunity to make sure that we're doing the right things for each other and for the players.
Yeah, no, I do think it's a really good point. And you're right, it's like culture. It's not just your job as a medical practitioner. It's it comes from the top, doesn't it, a lot of the time. And that's not just the manager, it's the, you know, the owner and all of those things. And for me, like, we've put a massive it's not even an emphasis, is it? Because it's kind of natural, really. It's like ideally it's a natural thing that you're doing it, so whether it's your values or whatever it is. But I know, even though me as a company owner, if I'm motivated and pumped and feeling supported and all of those, I work a lot. I'll work more than I will do if I'm demotivated or whatever it is. It's like, oh God. So it's even more pressured in your environment when you've got, it's so public, and you've, you know, a miss, a defeat, whatever it is. I can only imagine that that is very, very intense as well, like when you've got something that's so public and popular.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, for the, you know, my personal experience has really changed this last sort of couple of months, because I've gone from, you know, a championship club to a premiership club. There's a big difference in the spotlight that's on, and a big difference in who's paying attention to what you're doing. So yeah, there's a lot more pressure there. I think it takes an adjustment. I think the players, to be fair, they're used to it. You know, that's, they've gone their careers doing this. We've got a, you know, a relatively old, experienced squad. So they've been there and done it. And actually, I've found it really useful talking to them about things. From my perspective, you know, I'm the first team doctor and meant to be, you know, helping others, but actually talking to them and talking to my colleagues who have been in the job for 15 years, they're really helping me to adjust and to get used to this. So, you know, it works every way, you know. I think that's it. It's just the communication is so important when dealing with that, the pressures, the external as well as the internal pressures.
It's nice to hear that perspective of someone like William, who, you know, done so much in the game, amazingly successful, very experienced, played at the highest level. And it's great if you do feel supported by that, even though you might look at it and say, oh yeah, you're the practitioner, and but it shouldn't be like that.
No, and yeah, mentioned William, you know, a few of our players, yeah, we've got some very experienced players, like, you know, they're just fantastic. They've been nothing but you know, helpful, a delight to work with, really. And that was something I wasn't sure, because you develop relationships with players at a club. I'd been at Stoke for nearly 3 years. You develop those relationships. When you go into a new club, you've got to start again, and it's been so easy. They've made it so easy, which has helped from my point of view. And hopefully that's then allowed me to then offer my help where I can to them as well.
Yeah. And so why do you think, like, what characteristics do you think people liked about you, as whoever was interviewing you, that you were successful?
I don't know. That's quite a difficult question, to be honest. I don't know. I think, like I said at the beginning, I think the most important thing is to just be able to communicate, develop relationships. You know, when it comes to interviews, I don't like to prep too much. I want to know the basics about where I'm going, you know. So, for example, interviewing at Fulham, I want to know, you know, I'll go on the website, I want to look at the club, I want to look at the club policies, sort of their sort of values. I want to look at who I'll be working with, so I know some names, so that I'll recognise some people when I go in the room. And then ultimately, the rest is just, you know, just being open, approachable, and honest. And if I don't know an answer, or if I've, you know, if I've, I think one of the questions that was really interesting in my interview was, you know, what's gone wrong in your career before? I thought that was a fantastic question, because it, you know, we're not always going to get everything right, but it tells a lot about someone in how easily they will discuss what's gone, you know, and event or episode that's gone wrong, and how they've used it, how they've dealt with it, and how it's helped guide their practice. I thought that was a really interesting question from my interview at Fulham, and must have answered it okay because I got the job. But you know,
what was the answer, if you're able to share?
Yeah, it was in rugby actually. There was an injury, and everyone always talks about distracting injuries and sort of managing. So we had a player who basically got sandwiched in a tackle, dislocated shoulder, chest injury, which we felt was fracture. Comfortable in themselves, able to ambulate themselves, got them off the pitch, popped them in the ambulance, sent them off to hospital. We didn't, at that point, know the full extent of the injuries. And by the time they got to hospital, they deteriorated, ended up going to ITU with cardiac tamponade, flail, chest, lots of trauma, chest trauma that we hadn't necessarily recognized early enough. But we dealt with it appropriately in that went in an ambulance, went to hospital, went to the right place promptly, timely manner, got dealt with. But we perhaps should have looked at things a little bit more. You know, we were focused on getting pain sorted, getting shoulder back in place. That's the distracting injuries everyone always talks about. So we then reflecting on that, we implemented a checklist that anyone being transferred away from the ground needed to have had, you know, from an airway point of view, all of this check, breathing check, you know, basically we went through a checklist of this is what we need to have checked and be happy with before we send away, either after the game, send them home, or during the game, send them to the hospital. And that seemed to work. You know, we put that in place so that we had a mechanism to catch anything that we might miss. And I think, you know, you've got to recognise when it hasn't been optimal, it's been sufficient. We managed it sufficiently and no harm came to anyone and we dealt with it appropriately. But I think we could have dealt with it better, which is why we then looked at our practices and changed them.
Yeah. No, well, I think you can reflect on everything, isn't it? And is anyone ever the finished article? It's obviously no, isn't it? So it's, I think even some of the most experienced people I've had on here, just all of them are just like, several people have said it, but it's like literally as soon as you think you know everything, you're in big trouble there. So,
it's knowing what you don't know and, you know, putting things in place to I guess, fail safe, really, and recognize that and deal with that. You know, it's the unknowns that are the problem.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then, like, so outside of the medical professional development for you, do you read any books in terms of like progression for yourself, just out of interest?
Yeah. Talking about the sort of sports psychology of things, currently reading, so I've read The Chimp Paradox, currently reading Don McPherson's Mastering the Monkey Mind. So it's sort of it takes that chimp paradox a step further and looks at ways of, I guess, yeah, managing the inevitable performance anxiety in sport and in general life, because, you know, it's not just athletes that have anxiety about things. You know, it happens all over the place. It happens in general life. So it's quite an interesting read. I've only recently started that one. But I like to try and keep up to date as much as I can with things like that. But that's something that does interest me, the psychology of it.
Yeah. And then, so what do you foresee your future being in the industry?
To be honest, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now. You know, I think a first team doctor, Premiership club, I'd love to continue doing this for the foreseeable. I'd love to see Fulham be an established Premiership side and, you know, be there for many years to come. And, you know, keep developing myself skill wise, keep developing myself personally. I think, you know, I've got two young kids. I want to keep being as good a dad as I can to them and help them develop and into whatever they want to be, and give them every opportunity that they need in life, and keep being there again for my partner, my wife, support her in her career and in her life. And because, you know, God knows they've really supported me to be able to do all the bits that I've done to sort of get to here as well. So yeah, I think it's just that personal and professional balance, I think.
Yeah. And then for other people I knew who are looking at getting into this industry, whether, you know, from a younger age or from even, you know, more mature people, what would your advice be to them?
Well, if you want to try it, go for it. You know, there's lots of opportunities out there, just shadowing, just being in the environment of the sort of sports medicine world. It is different. But if there's any inkling that it's something you might want to do, then, you know, find your local club, turn up on a match day, get that sort of experience of the environment. You know, there's so many local clubs. You know, you look at your championship rugby clubs, they would be in trouble if people didn't want to start in that career. You know, to turn up, to give their time to cover these games, you know, just give it a go and then say yes to lots of things. It will mean lots of weekends away for not very much money initially, but it's all experience and it all develops, and, you know, you get there eventually if you keep at it and keep working. But yeah, you've really got to experience it to know if it's for you. You can think it's for you, but go and experience it, go and see what people do, because it's I love it, it's fantastic.
Well, no, your positivity definitely comes off, and you can see that you've really worked. Like, even the stuff that you've done in your gap years, you've put the work in. It's not just, oh, I've gone off to Australia for a year, which I did do, which, you know, I did enjoy as well, but it's like you've really, like, just you've put in the time, and it's great to see that you're, you know, you're kind of living the dream, so to speak, in terms of working in the Premier League. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's it. When I met my wife, she knew that sport and medicine were probably going to eventually come together, and that this is probably where I would want to end up. I've ended up here a little bit earlier than I thought I probably would, but, you know, not complaining at all. And yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, thanks.
That's brilliant. No problem. Who do you support?
I'm actually a West Ham fan. So one of my first games was Fulham 5, West Ham 0. So that was good.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. How did you feel on that day then?
Yeah, well, both myself and the physio sat next to me, both West Ham fans. So we were just a little bit quiet. But by the end, we were celebrating Fulham goals as well, because they were just such good goals. it was a great day.
Yeah, I think you've got to, haven't you, in those situations. Actually, the only game I've been to, I'm an Everton fan, was the Fulham match in the cup, which was that was a shocker from our perspective. You know.
Yeah, that was a tough one, not going to lie, but yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did. No, look, great. Look, Thomas, I really appreciate your time. And again, really appreciate you sharing your journey. There's loads of stuff that people can take away from that. So thank you for that. And good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. No, thanks for chatting.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.